yo, yo. How many of you know the Lord is fighting for you this morning? Come on, somebody. He's the Lord that fights for me, and he's the Lord that fights for you. And I just want to tell you this morning, right quick, with a prophetic voice, that no matter what you are facing, that no matter what you are going through, no matter what season you are in life, no matter what pain you have, no matter what injury you have, no matter what kind of lie the enemy has spoken unto you, I'm going to tell you, our God is still God, and our God is on the throne, and he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond, and he is fighting for you today. Come on, somebody. He's fighting for you. It's just good to know somebody's fighting for you sometimes. Jennifer likes to fight with me, but I need somebody to fight for me sometimes. Now, welcome to Bethel, man. We're so glad you're here today. It's always exciting to come hang out, and it's exciting to gather together and to worship God. And so today we are actually, which this is crazy to me, we're 2 weeks away from Easter. We're 2 weeks away from Easter. Easter is the big celebration for you and I. It's the big celebration for Christianity. It's when the stone was rolled away. It's when Jesus rose from the dead. It's when he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And so it's just so much fun. And so Easter is coming up. I'm going to be really honest with y'all. Can I be real with y'all today? Can I just be frank and just lay it all out there today? Easter is it's when we invite everybody to church. You know what I mean? We should be inviting people to church 365 days a year. But something about Easter makes us want to invite people to church. And then you have them people, like they show up for Easter. And we ain't seen them since last Easter. Come on, somebody. Which I don't get and I don't understand. But anyway, so Easter's coming. And so we are, but here's the deal. When people come to church, here's what I found out. When people that are hurting, when people that are facing darkness, when people that are damaged, when people show up on Easter and when they hear the good news of Jesus Christ, when they hear that there is hope, and when they hear that there is a Savior that loves them and wants to bring life to them, that they always get saved. Every Easter, somebody gets saved. And how many of you know, the Bible said, if one sinner gets saved, the angels in heaven rejoice, y'all. And so we got to know Easter's coming up. And so I'm expecting you, and I'm asking you, and the Lord is too, to be thinking forward in the next couple of weeks. Who is it in my life that's struggling right now? Who is it that's far from God? Who is it that's facing this divorce? Who is it that's going through financial difficulty? Who is it that's lost a loved one? Who is it that doesn't have hope that I want to ask them to come to church on Easter so they can hear that there is hope for everybody? Now, listen to me. Don't get all quiet on me, okay? Because, yeah, today it's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God. Today I'm going to challenge you to do more than come to church. I love church. I'm a church guy. You know I love it when you come here. But I'm going to tell you something. This Christian life is more than you showing up to church on Sunday morning and checking the box and saying, I made it to church. It is about knowing that God has done great and mighty things in your life. Has the Lord done anything great and mighty in your life? Can I hear a good amen? It's when we make up our mind that, you know, after all that God has done for me, after he rolled the stone and after he raised me from the dead and after he changed my life, now I want to do everything I can to be an ambassador for him. I want to do everything I can to bring other people to the bloodstained cross of Jesus. It's understanding that we have a responsibility as Christ's followers. And so today, I want to challenge you in the way you think. I want to challenge you. If you came for a seeker-sensitive service today, you picked the wrong day to come. I'm going to mash on you. I'm going to push on you just a little bit today. I wonder, here's the question I have. I wonder if our lives are more than just working a 40-hour-a-week job. I wonder if our lives are more than just running this rat race. I wonder if our lives really, really matter. I wonder if how we treat people outside of church matters to the kingdom of God. Because there's some church folk I know, they're pretty hateful when you get outside of church. Can I get a witness? Some of you hateful in church, just saying. I wonder, after God has saved us, did he save me just to save me so I can live a life and say, praise God, I'm going to make heaven someday? Or did God save me and did God save you so that he could use you and I to go out into the world and use common sinners like us to let other people know that there's hope out there? I wonder if the way we treat people really matters to the kingdom of God. I wonder if how we speak to others at the convenience store, how we speak to our waitress, how we speak to our coworkers, I wonder if how we act, if how we speak, if how we treat people, I wonder, does it matter Billy Mara? Does it matter Billy Lamb, the way that we speak? Does it matter Tina? Does it matter Bart? Does it matter Chelsea? Does it matter how we live our life if we're trying to glorify God and lead people to the cross? I wonder, does it matter? Let me ask you something else. I'm preaching to you today, okay? I wonder, does our attitude in the world matter? If we're trying to represent Christ, if we're trying to do more than enter into the rat race, if we're trying to do more, I wonder, does our attitude matter in the world? Because there's some, can I be real with y'all? Some of your attitude sucks. Your attitude is all about you and what you want, and you're not getting the way you want, you're not getting enough attention, and the economy is messed up, and the country, so we walk around with a sucky attitude, and you know what? We wonder why nobody wants to come to church with us. Did you that a boy? That's what I'm talking about right there, boy. The Bible says the faith of a child. Even that child knows your attitude sucks. That looks bad on you, Billy Moore. I'm just saying right there. I wonder, y'all, if our friendliness, because some church folk, they ain't real friendly. I wonder if our friendliness, if our attitude, I wonder if these things really make a difference in the world. Can I tell y'all something? Like, I love church, and I love what God has done for me, and I love what God has done for you. And God has taken me from this level. Come on, somebody. He's picked me up out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. And then he's taken me to another level, and he's taken me to another level, and God wants to keep going. Look at me. Look. There is a level that you and I will never, ever get to if we have the consumer mentality. If we just want to come to church and let Connor sing to me and let Cody preach to me and we just want to come and consume, there's a level we will never, ever get to. But I'm telling you, God wants to take you to another level. And the only way you're going to go to the other level is when you begin to allow God to flow through you and when you begin to allow God to work in you and through you. And unfortunately, so many of the church in America today, we never let God flow through us. We just want him to work in us. And when you begin, I'm telling you, there's a level of satisfaction. There's a level of fulfillment. There's a level of joy that we'll never, ever reach sitting in the pew. But when we go into the stock show world, and when we go into the bakery world, and when we go into the truck sale world, and when we go into our world and we allow the joy of the Lord to flow up through us, and when we begin to speak the glory of God, and we have a good attitude, and we're friendly, and when we allow God to flow through us, and we see other people's lives changed through sinners like you and I, it will take us to another level, and it will bring us satisfaction. You, now he wants to do through you. Woo! Preach, Brother Cody, preach. Today we're going to read some scripture. We're going to look at the life of Jesus. Like, I love to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the Gospels. It's the first four books of the New Testament. I love to read the life of Jesus and how Jesus interacted with people. Like, our worship pastor, Connor, he makes fun of me all the time. Because I say, we're going to have staff meeting today. And he goes, oh, wow, let me tell you how this is going to go. Get your Bible and turn to Mark chapter number 10, and we're going to look at the life of Jesus today. I just love how Jesus interacted, how he interacted with the church world, how he interacted with sinners, how he faced tough situations. I think he is our ultimate, he's the one that we should be imitating. And so I love to read about him. We're going to read in Luke 10 today. He's come on the scene. And he starts gathering a team together. He gets 12 people to be on his team. How many of you know we're better together than we are by ourselves? He starts building this team. And so then they're going around and they're preaching in this town and they're preaching in this town and that people are getting saved and people are getting healed and people are getting raised from the dead. Miracles are taking place. Jesus is going all around preaching and he gains this following. People are following him everywhere. I want to just mention to you today, and say this, there is a huge difference in following Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. There's a huge difference, following. Following means I'm just kind of going along in the same direction with somebody. You could ask and interview many, many people in the world, and they would say, oh, yeah, I'm following Jesus. I believe I'm kind of going in the right direction. I'm in the crowd back here. I'm following from afar off, but I'm kind of going in that same direction. There is a difference in being a follow and in following and being a follower. A follower is someone that imitates. A follower is someone that serves their leader. And I just want to say to you today, it's time for us to quit just following Jesus and become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds me of social media. There are a lot of people that I am following on social media. Come on, somebody. But it doesn't mean that I'm imitating them, and it doesn't mean that I believe the same way they believe. I'm just following them. I don't want to just be a following. I want to be a follower who knows who my Lord is. I want to be a follower who loves like Jesus loves and speaks like Jesus speaks. It's time for us to be followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I'm afraid that our world is full of people. I'm afraid that our churches are full of people that say we're following Jesus, yet we're in the midst of the crowd, and we're not really making a difference in the world that we live in. I'm going to read you some scripture today. I'm going to read you some scripture from Luke chapter 10. Jesus is preparing to go. Him and his 12, they're going all around, they're preaching. And Jesus is about to go into this other town over there. And before he gets to this other town, he says, I'm going to choose some people to go over there and prepare the way for me. I'm going to choose some people to go over there, let y'all set it up, get everything ready. And then Jesus says, I'm going to show up and we're going to have revival over there. I want us to look at Jesus' plan. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 through 11. Jesus has chosen his 12. He's got his team. Now he's expanding his team. He says, we're going to do some bigger stuff. So the Lord chooses 72 other disciples. He sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places that he was going to visit. Y'all, everybody picking up what I'm putting down right now? Can I hear a good amen? Amen. Jesus said, I'm going over there, but I'm going to send them ahead of me. They're going to prepare. They're going to fix it. They're going to set it all up. These were his instructions to them. How many of you know if we're going to live a life that glorifies God, there are some instructions that Jesus needs to give us, and we need to learn to follow his instructions. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. There's a lot following, but there's not very many followers. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. There are a lot of people that have the consumer mentality. What am I going to get out of this? What is the blessing for me? What is God going to do for me? What does that church have to offer me? Jesus said, the harvest is great. There's a lot of people out there, but the workers, they're few. So pray, Jesus says, to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. How many of you know? We don't need new technology. We don't need new worship styles. We don't need new preachers. We don't need new translations of the Bible. We don't need new pews in our churches. We don't need new sanctuaries. We just need more people that have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ to become workers and to go out and do the work of the ministry. If more people get active in their faith, we will see a harvest like we've never seen before. Now go, and remember this, this is not a cakewalk. This is not always going to be easy, not always going to be hugs and kisses and sugary and syrupy. Jesus said, go, and remember this, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop and greet anyone along the way. Whenever you enter into someone's home, first say this, may God's peace be upon this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. And if they are not, the blessing will return unto you. Give you one more piece of advice here while I'm reading this scripture because I feel like preaching to you today. Jesus said, go. And when you go, say, peace be unto you. And if they receive you, then they will have peace in their home. But if they don't receive you, what you spoke and what you gave away will come back into your life. Too many of us are going out trying to speak peace and trying to speak joy and trying to speak love. And then if people don't respond in the way that we want them to, we get mad and all bowed up and we change the way that we act. Remember that what you give is what you will get back, and it doesn't matter how people receive that. God, that's such a good word this morning. I didn't tell first service that, but I'm telling y'all. I love y'all more, I guess. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. I'm just going to preach to y'all. Some of you need to learn to receive some hospitality. Because some of you are just givers, and some of you think it's all about me and what I can do, and you're so prideful and arrogant that you don't want to receive hospitality and you don't want to receive gifts from others. I'm going to tell you, you and I have to learn to receive gifts from God, and we have to learn to receive from other people as well. This is so good. If you enter into a town and it welcomes you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we wipe the dust of your town off of our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate, and know this, the kingdom of God is near. One more thing. If you're going to live a life that glorifies God, look at me, look. Be prepared for some people to not receive you and for some people to reject you. It's part of life. Not everybody's going to like you. And if somebody rejects you, and if somebody doesn't receive you and the gospel message that you are sharing with them, do not get booty hurt. Do not get all pouty and stick your bottom lip out and quit doing what God has called you to do. Shake it off. Don't let it cost you any sleep at night. Don't let it occupy any space in your brain, and get on down the road and share the good news with somebody else. Jesus said to these guys, I want you 72 to go over here. And he goes, here's what could happen. Here's what might happen. Here's what I want you to do. He laid out some instructions, and he sent them over there to prepare the way for him. We're going to talk a little bit in a minute about how they conduct themselves and how they acted would directly affect how the town would receive Jesus when Jesus showed up. Just like how you act and your attitude and how you speak and how you conduct yourself could affect how the people around you accept the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Woo. Here's a question I got, though, thinking about this. Jesus chose 12, and then Jesus chose these 72. Like, why did Jesus choose these 72? Like, why? Who are these 72? There's multitudes, there's millions following him. Like, why did he choose these 72? Are they some sort of elites? Are they spiritual elites that have been to seminary, that sing out of the Broadman hymnal, that have no tattoos and don't like loud guitar music in church? Why did Jesus choose these guys? Are they better educated? Were they richer? Let me tell you why Jesus chose these 72. And let me tell you why Jesus will choose you to go out and to change the lives of others. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. You know what God wants from you and me? He wants us to be faithful. Not wishy-washy. How many know we live in a wishy-washy world? Come on, somebody. In a wishy-washy culture, and we're wishy-washy in our feelings, and we're wishy-washy in our relationships, and we're wishy-washy in our faith. You know what God wants? Not for you to be perfect, not for you to be the best, not for you to quote the most scripture, not for you to pray longer than everybody else. God just wants you to be faithful every day, to show up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. You know what? I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful to love my wife. I'm going to be faithful to raise my kids. I'm going to be faithful to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be faithful. How many of you know it would change our world right now if we would just start teaching our young generation how to be faithful, how to show up every day? I'm faithful. I'm faithful to show up at church on Sunday. I'm faithful to show up every week. God is looking to take some people to the next level if we'll just show our faithfulness. Faithfulness, faithful, faithful, faithful. Just be faithful, 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 faithful to God. Faithful every day. Faithful. Come on, somebody. We're faithful to our hobbies. We're faithful to our job. We're faithful to our political party. We're faithful to just be faithful every day. Faithful to God. Just be faithful, and God says, I can trust you and I'll use you. Luke 12:42-44. And the Lord said, who then is faithful and wise? We need to be faithful, and then we need to be wise. Be wise. Be wise. Whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time. Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Jesus is looking for people to be faithful, to be wise, and to be doers. to be doers. Remember, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. To be doers, to be doers. Can I tell you, we need to be doers. Weird and awkward sometimes, because the preacher preaches about evangelism and, oh, glory to God, we're ready to go, and we got our Bible under our arm, and we got our holier-than-thou attitude, and we take, and the minute we get somebody, hey, have I tell you about that trip to John, you need to change your life, John, you ain't been doing right, let me just quote the scripture to you, and we just get weird and freaky and awkward. Come on, somebody. When Jesus said, I'm just trusting you to go over there, just have a relationship, just be real. I could preach all day on this, y'all. You ain't talked about the Lord all week long, but the minute you engage somebody that you want to invite to church, you change it and you start quoting scripture and talking about the sermon last week and singing worship songs and what you listen to on the radio. Come on, y'all. Scripture's good. Come on, y'all. Praying for people is good, but we got to be real. We got real world people out there that have real struggles going on, and they don't need somebody to beat them up with the Bible, and they don't need to act somebody to act like they're holier than thou. They just need somebody to engage them right where they are and love them with the love of God. You look at the scripture. You look at Jesus. He just met people where they were. He talked about the woman at the well. He talked about eating. He met them where they were, and he let the Holy Spirit work through them. Some people don't want to come to church because the way Christians act. Preach, Cody, preach. Some people don't know what they don't want no part of Jesus because Jesus' followers are weirdos. Jesus sent these guys over there. They had to have some people skills. They had to have some people skills. How many know? I'm going to talk to you about it again because it's a struggle. They had to have good attitudes. They're going to the next town. They go knocking on doors. Hey, guess what? Hey, man, we've been, my master's coming. Jesus is coming over here. Man, can we stretch y'all out? What y'all got for supper today? Come on, y'all. What do y'all do for a living? They're engaging people. Tell them, oh, Jesus is coming. He is the coolest dude. Like, we've been following him for 3 years. He just eats like we eat. He drinks black coffee. He doesn't wear skinny jeans. He's a man's man. He loves kids and he loves children. They just go and they prepare the way so that when Jesus shows up, they go, wow, I want to meet this Jesus. Do the way you act, does the way you conduct yourself make people want to meet your Savior Jesus Christ? Or does it make them want to go, I'm out? They had to have people skills. They had to have good attitudes. They had to be approachable. They had to know what Jesus' plans were. They had to follow instructions. They had to be people of prayer. They were praying. They had to have great faith. Just a reminder for y'all today. We should be engaging people 365 days a year, but Easter's coming up. So it's a good catalyst. It's a good moment for us to go, hey, who can I invite to church? Who can I share my faith with in this time of Easter, these 72? So here's the deal. Today, here's what we're going to do. Promised it last week. Here's what we're going to do. God believes in you. And we as your church believe in you. We believe in you. We believe this. Good seeds sown into good soil produce a great harvest. How many believe that? Can I hear a good amen? Amen. So what we're doing as a church today is we're sowing seeds into you. We're going to give away between our next, that first service, this service, and the next one, we're going to give away $10,000 today. And you know how we're going to do that? In $20 increments. If you're here today and you are 16 or older, when you walk out those back doors, we have a team back there with a whole bucket full of $20 bills, and they're going to give you a $20 bill. We're going to sow that into your life. And we're sowing that into your life with the intention that you are now going to take it freely. You have received freely. You are going to give. We're going to ask you to take that $20 and we're going to ask you to sow it into the lives of some people around you. Some people that are hurting, some people that are far from God. We're going to ask you to go buy them a cup of coffee, buy them a hamburger at lunch, put some gas in their car, buy their kids a new shirt. We're going to ask you to go. We believe so much in you and in the message of God that we're going to sow seeds into you and watch you sow them into others. And some of you, you may go, some of you, you might ought to put 20 with it. Come on, somebody. You ought to put 20 with it, $40. Go buy somebody a brisket sandwich at the Shed Market. Come on, somebody. Or a loaf of that winter rye, wheat, sourdough bread at the Salty Roan Bakehouse. Can I get a witness? $20 to sow into the life of somebody and just say to them, hey, I care about you. I see you're struggling. I know you're going through a tough time. I just want you to know I care, and I want you to know. Just let God, like, don't make God work through you. Look at me, look. Don't make it happen. Let it happen. Don't make it, don't force it, just let it, just be. Just be faithful, just be wise. And just be present in the life of somebody. Give them some time and give them just a little bit of your effort. Just give. Conrad and worship team, would y'all come help me close this today? $20. What can God do with you? What can God do with a $20 bill? What can he do? Here's that moment where satisfaction can come and fulfillment can come in what God has done in you. Now he begins to do through you. Does it through you? If I had time, I would read you the rest of the text today in Luke 10. Jesus sent them over there. They followed his instructions. They reached out. Some accepted them. Some didn't. They just kept doing. And then Jesus showed up. And you know what happened when Jesus showed up? People got saved. People got healed. People got raised from the dead. Miracles, signs, and wonders took place. You and I do what God has asked us to do. And when God shows up at Easter, or maybe before Easter, people will be saved, healed, delivered, and the miracles of God will take place. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Holy Spirit, I ask you to move in this place. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now. Your word tells us, Holy Spirit, that you guide us. You guide our thoughts. The Holy Spirit brings things to remembrance. And so, Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you begin to move on the hearts and the minds of the men and women in here. And right now, you would put on their heart, you would put on our mind, all of us, somebody that you want us to reach out to. Somebody that you want us to love on. Somebody that you want us to sow seeds in. Remind us, God, that the way they respond is not our responsibility. We're just sowing seeds. Put somebody on our heart, Lord. Somebody that we love, somebody that we care about, somebody that we're close to. Burden our hearts for these people. Burden our hearts for them, for their salvation, for their life. Reveal that person to us, Holy Spirit. And now, Holy Spirit, after you've done that, I pray that you begin to move on the hearts and the minds of the people that you've placed on our hearts. That you would go before us and you would prepare a scenario and you would prepare a situation for us to sit down with them over a meal or sit down with them over a cup of coffee. You would prepare their hearts and their minds to receive hope and to receive hospitality and to receive the good news of Christ. Lord, you're so good and so many things we don't understand, but we walk by faith and not by sight. So we're just going to apply your principles and we're going to leave the rest to you. I pray for young people, 16-year-old, 30-year-old, 60-year-old, 70-year-olds to go and sow, and then much fruit would be produced from that. So speak to us. Speak to us in this place as we close in worship. Amen, amen. Come on, stand on your feet.